I know it was a very tough night for Marco Rubio. He had a tough night, but he worked hard. He spent a lot of money. He is a lightweight, as I've said many times before.
There he is, Donald Trump, winner last night, Super Tuesday. Seven states for Trump: Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Massachusetts, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. And Marco Rubio did win Minnesota, and Ted Cruz won three states: Texas, Oklahoma, and Alaska. Dr. Amy Bree Becker joins me now. She's assistant professor of communications at Loyola University and expert on public opinion, politics, campaigns. You've been looking at this thing. I find it to be fascinating. And we will look back on this, you know, 50 years from now, certainly 20 years from now, and say this was just an unbelievable election cycle. Donald Trump is a billionaire, right? I mean, he is a rich guy who is a TV star, got a lot of money, doesn't take crap from anybody, and is a populist. I find that to be the fascinating part about it, how he is a billionaire rich guy but is a populist and has tapped into that feel your pain mentality, and that's why he's having the success that he is. Can you make hay of what's going on here with Donald Trump?
Well, you know, you're right that he's tapping into this general discontent with the way we've been doing things in Washington. People are really dissatisfied with the current state of politics, and he is, for better or worse, their alternative at this point. It's important to point out, though, he's still only winning, you know, a third or so, up to 40% of the vote in these states. He hasn't yet won a state with a majority. At least he didn't in Super Tuesday.
Yeah, so, but there's, you know, so many candidates. I mean, that is difficult.
Right, and sure. If you look, it's a crowded field, that's for sure.
I know everybody believes that if it was one-on-one with Cruz or Rubio, things would be different. But do we know if the people who are voting for Kasich or voted for Christie or Jeb Bush wouldn't have gone to Donald Trump at this point?
Right, I think so. I mean, it would also help if Ted Cruz wasn't in the race, right? Because that's a very different type of voter. But, you know, as these contests go on, it gets harder and harder to stop Trump's momentum.
The way he speaks, right? I mean, we haven't heard a politician like this in my lifetime that is so blunt and is willing to poke fun at people and to, you know, say words that you wouldn't expect a politician to say. He doesn't care what he says. In fact, the more outrageous he gets, the more support he seems to get. How did we get here?
I think it's, you know, a long-standing lack of, you know, declining lack of trust in government, in believing that institutions can get anything done, that we could actually pass legislation in Washington. I think there's a lot of people who are very frustrated in both parties with the status quo. And I think, you know, the Republican Party really will have some soul-searching to do, in this election and really beyond.
And let me ask you on the Democratic side of things, because it's fascinating as well, that you have a guy like Bernie Sanders, who, you look at him, he looks like your grandpa, maybe even your grandpa's dad. You know, I mean, he's old, right? And he is a curmudgeon, it seems. Yet young people love him. Young Democrats love young progressives absolutely love him. What do you make of that scenario with Bernie Sanders and the love affair that millennials have with him?
Overall, I think it's really exciting because it's getting young people to engage in politics. So, you know, that is really exciting. I think what he's talking about, the issues that they care about, he's talking about student loans. He's talking about income inequality. You know, I teach at Loyola, and there are plenty of students who are really worried about what's going to happen to them next after graduation. And Bernie Sanders is tapping into that. I also think that, you know, it's really interesting, young women support him as well. Hillary Clinton, to young people, really seems like a candidate for a different generation. She really is about as Washington as you can get.
Yeah. It was interesting last night, you know, we talk about the inside the Beltway route in Northern Virginia. Northern Virginia went for Marco Rubio.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, and it did not go for Donald Trump. But everywhere else in Virginia, maybe a little couple of places around Richmond, went for Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump is the populist candidate right now. And you look at the head-to-heads, right? We do the head-to-heads of Hillary Clinton versus Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz, and the Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. And a lot of people who are not Trump supporters will say, well, look, you know, Hillary Clinton beats Donald Trump. Why would you support a guy? But, you know, it's only like 5 points. I mean, who's to say that doesn't change down the road, you know?
Well, polling for the general election is way too early to really be reliable, right? We've got a long time until November. And, you know, a lot can happen. A lot of things can be said by both candidates to get them in hot water. And, you know, we know historically that polling, you know, the closer you get to the election day, the more accurate the polling gets.
It does feel, though, like the Republican Party, if Donald Trump is the nominee, it is fractured. I mean, it is maybe even broken, and that the party, I don't know if it splits or what happens, but there's complete damage to the Republican Party. Do you feel that way?
I think that the Republican Party certainly needs to do some soul searching. He still, you know, to get the nomination, he still needs to get much closer to the delegate count. So, you know, you need 12, 37 delegates to win. And these contests, eventually they start to become winner-take-all states, and that's where, you know, the delegate counts will really pick up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not over.
And Florida's the big one. Ohio's a big one, too, coming up in the middle of the month.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you know, usually whoever wins the most states on Super Tuesday is the nominee, and the race sort of thins out. I think you'll see some thinning in the Republican Party, certainly Ben Carson and John Kasich, but I think that the rest of these guys may try and hold on a little bit longer.
Amy, great to have you on. Thanks very much for your time.
Great, we appreciate
it. And Dr. Amy Bree Becker with the at Loyola University, Assistant Professor of Communications there here on BAL.